Today's daf is Rosh Hashanah daf Lamed Gimel. We left off in daf Lamed Beis and Beis, not too far down the page on Lamed Beis and Beis. We fell a little bit behind. We are holding in the middle of the discussion about what counts for the psukim of Malchios, Achronos, and Shofros, what the limitations are on which kinds of psukim to use for Malchios, Achronos, and Shofros. We're then going to get into the next mission is going to discuss Shofar and Halil in on Rosh Hashanah, in Shachris or Musaf, when the appropriate time to do each mitzvah is. The Gemara is going to discuss why there's no Halil on Rosh Hashanah in general. Then the next mission is going to talk about violating Yisurim in order to secure a Shofar for Rosh Hashanah. Is the person allowed to violate an Issur D'Rabbanan in order to make sure that he has a Shofar for Rosh Hashanah? The primary sugya of today daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph is women and mitzvah shazman grama. We're going to go into that sugya through women and shofar, but it's a broader sugya, shas sugya, about women fulfilling mitzvah shazman grama in general, whether women are permitted to volunteer mitzvah shazman grama even though they are apart from it. We're also going to talk about shofar for children, specifically when it comes to Shabbos, where an adult is not allowed to blow shofar. Are we allowed to train children, to teach children about Kiyah Shofar on Shabbos? And we're also going to talk about on Amud Beis the concept of Misasek B'Tkiyos. If a person blows Shofar without any intention to fulfill a mitzvah, so is he Yotze? Is anyone who hears from the Misasek, if someone is Shomeam in the Misasek, is he Yotze? And then if we get to it, the next Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about the different tekios, the different sounds that the shofar makes, and the number of blasts that one has to blow, how we define a trua versus a tekia, and a yavava, and all the different possibilities of the sounds of the shofar. So let us begin. We are on Lamed Beis, Amud Beis. We left off, we're about to quote a series of psukim. We are holding at Su'usha Arim Rashechem. First word on the line is Damya, about 10 lines into the medium-sized lines on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. So again, we're still discussing which psukim count for Malchus, Achronos, and Shofros, and which psukim should not be used for Malchus, Achronos, and Shofros. Now we're going to mention psukim that may count for more than one of the Malchus. We know we need 10 psukim of each, 10 psukim of Malchus, 10 psukim of Achronos, 10 psukim of Shofros. So says Gemara, Su'ushar Mrashechem, Yinasu Pisri Olam, V'yavu Melech HaKavod, Miuza Melech HaKavod, Hashem Yisus Gibor, Hashem Gibor Melchama, Su'ushar Mrashechem, Su'u Pisri Olam, V'yavu Melech HaKavod, Miuza Melech HaKavod, Hashem Tzvakos, Hu Melech HaKavod Salah. So with those two psukim, Rishona Shtayim, the first of those two psukim counts as two, Shnia Shalosh, the second one counts as three of Malchios. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, that's what Rabbi Yossi holds. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Rishona Achas Shnia Shtayim. The first one counts as one, the second one counts as two. Another pasuk that also has multiple references and therefore might count as more than one, Zamru Elukim Zameru, Zamru Lemalkenu Zameru. So that's one pasuk. Ki Melech Kala Aretz Elukim Zamru Maskil. That's another pasuk. Ki Melech Kala Aretz Elukim Shtayim Divrei Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says that's two. These two psukim count as two. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Achas. Rabbi Yehuda says no. They don't count as two. They only count as one. V'shavin v'melech elkim al gayim elkim yeshiv al kisei kadsho shehi achas. But everyone agrees that pasuk is one, as Rashi points out. To lo maninun yeshiv al kisei kadsho b'loshon malchus. Yeshiv al kisei kadsho is not a loshon malchus. It says the Kodesh Baruch Hu sits on the throne, but it's not an open reference to malchus. Good. So zikaron sheyesh bo trua kigon shabbason zikron trua mikra kodesh. What if you have a pasuk that mentions zikaron and trua? So omra ima zichronos, v'omra ima shofros. Div Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, so then you can include that as one of the psukim of zichronos because it mentions zikaron, and you can also include it as one of the psukim of shofros because it says trua, so it's one of the shofros as well. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, eino omra elam zichronos b'vad. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it only gets mentioned with the zichronos. It does not count as shofros. Trua is not a lashon of shofros. You need a lashon of shofar explicit in the pasuk. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not enough to have a lashon of trua. Malchus sheyeshimo trua, kigon Hashem el kavamo truas melech bo, Omra im hamalchios va omra im hashofros of Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says that if you have a pasuk that has both malchios and trua together in the same pasuk, so it can count for both. Again, shemel kavimo truas melech bo is truas melech. So it's trua and melech. So therefore, you could use it as a pasuk of shofros. You could use it as a pasuk of malchios. Rabbi Yehuda omer eino omra lema malchios pavad. Rabbi Yehuda says no. You can use it as a pasuk of malchus, but you cannot use it as a pasuk of shofros because it mentions trua, but it does not mention shofar explicitly again. So now the first wide line: trua she'eni malo klum kigon yom trua yelechem. Omra ima shofros to Rabbi Yossi. If it just mentions trua and it doesn't mention anything else, Rabbi Yossi says trua counts as shofros. So you can say that as a pasuk of shofros. Rabbi Yehuda omer eino omer kalik. Rabbi Yehuda says no, you can't say it at all. So really, the last three machlokesim are all the same machlokes. Machlokes whether trua is a word that can be used that when used in a pasuk qualifies that pasuk to be used for shofros. That's the whole issue of these last three machlokesim. So when we go through the series of psukim, we should start with psukim from Torah, and we should conclude with psukim from Navi. Rabbi Yossi says you yotzei even if you conclude with psukim from Torah. So says Gemara im hishlim. The implication of the Mishnah is that Rabbi Yossi says if you happen to be mashlim b'Torah, then you yotzei. So that sounds like the evidence l'chadchila lo that is not the preference. That even Rabbi Yossi would only say that. D'yavid, he could be mashlim, but not lechadchila. V'atanya, Rabbi Yossi Amar mashlim b'Torah, harezim mishubach. But we have a brisa that Rabbi Yossi says that if you're mashlim b'Torah, it's praiseworthy, that it's a good thing, that lechadchila, it's the ideal thing to do to finish up with psukim from the Torah. So says Gemara, Ema mashlim. You need to change the Mishnah. The Mishnah should not say im hishlim b'Torah yatsa. Rather, it should be mashlim b'Torah. That is what we suggest. That is what we recommend. I frekli gemara vaha im hishlim katani the evidence lechadchil lo, but it says im hishlim. It doesn't say mashlim. It says if you are mashlim. Sounds like it's only b'di'avad. Sounds like gemara hachi kamar maschil b'torah mashlim b'navi. Tanakama says you begin with psukim of Torah and then you conclude with psukim of Navi. Rabbi Yossi omer mashlim b'torah v'im hishlim b'navi yatsa. And Rabbi Yossi says that you should be mashlim b'torah. That's the lechadchila to be mashlim b'torah. And if you're mashlim b'navi, like the Tanakhama said you should do, if you do what the Tanakhama said you should do, then b'di'eved you're going to be yotzei. So there is a lashon of b'di'eved that fits in our Mishnah within Shitas Rabbi Yossi, but the b'di'eved is not to be mashlim b'Torah. The b'di'eved, according to Rabbi Yossi, is to be mashlim b'navi, to do what the Tanakhama said. Tani Nami Yachi, of a brisa that supports this understanding of Rabbi Yossi, that Amar Rabbi Yossi said that v'astikin hayu mashlim and also b'Torah. That people who are very scrupulous used to always finish with psukim of Torah. So bishlam is zichronos v'shofros ikatuva. I understand very well. There are plenty of psukim of zichronos and shofros in the Torah that you can conclude with. It's great. Alamalchios t'lasu davion. Hashem elkavi mo utras melech bo that ve'yibushur melech Hashem yimloch li'olam ved v'anan bidin eser v'lecha. But what are you going to do about Malchios? And there are only three psukim in the entire Torah of Malchios. And if you need to be mashlim b'Torah, so certainly you need to start with psukim in the Torah. So you have to start with three psukim. And clearly the format is 3-3-3-1. So when we're arguing about what to be mashlim, it's what that last one pasuk should be. So if you hold, you got to start with Torah. So you can have three of Torah, three of Ksuvim, three of Nevi'im, and then one of Torah, according to Rabbi Yossi. So you're going to need a fourth pasuk of Torah, but where are you going to find a fourth pasuk in the Torah of Malchios? So Amar Rav Huna Tashma, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Malchus, Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds that the pasuk of Shema Yisrael is also a pasuk of Malchus, since that's the pasuk of being Mekabel, Ol Malchus Shemayim, Mele that counts as Malchus. Rabbi Yudo Amar Eina Malchus. Rabbi Yudo says, no, that does not count as a pasuk of Malchus. V'yadat Ayom V'shivosel, Ki Hashem Elokim ain ode Malchus. Tiv Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds that pasuk also is a pasuk of Malchus. Rabbi Domer ain't a Malchus. Rabbi Yossi says no, it's not.
Ata Reis Ladaski Hashem Elokim Ein Od Milvado Malchus Div Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds such a pasuk. That pasuk is also a pasuk of Malchus. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ein a Malchus. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's not a pasuk of Malchus. But clearly the Rabbi Yossi holds that you need to find the pasuk of Malchus. You need to find the fourth pasuk of Malchus because you need the ideal, the lecharchila, is to be Messiah b'Torah. Not that it's a b'diavad. If it's a b'diavad, we wouldn't want to find the fourth pasuk of Malchus. Adraba. Better not to be Messiah b'shal Torah. But clearly, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's an ideal that we dafka should be Messiah with a pasuk in the Torah, and therefore having that fourth pasuk of Malchus is critical. Okay, new Mishnah now. Ha'over l'fnei ateva b'yom tov shel Rosh Hashanah. If a person is davening for the Yamud on Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, Hasheni matkia. The Bal Musaf is the one that blows the tkios, meaning they do tkios during Musaf. U'b'shas ha'halel harishon makras ha'halel. But when it comes to saying halel, in shas ha'halel means on a day that you would actually say halel, meaning not Rosh Hashanah, but on any day that a person would actually say halel, so the Bal Shachris should say the halel, meaning halel goes together with Shachris, whereas tekios and Rosh Hashanah go together with Musaf. So says Gemara, Maishna Sheni Matkia. Why is it that tekios go together with the Musaf? Why would tekios go together with the Musaf and not with the Shachris? Says the Gemara, Mishum de Berovam Hadras Melech. Because we have a concept, Berovam Hadras Melech, that we try to honor God with the greatest number of people, and there are more people there at Musaf than there are by Shachris. So the Tori Evan explains in his second Tarets that the reason that there's more of a Rov Am by Musaf than there is by Shachris is because in general, the later you are into Shul, the more people there that get there. There are people that come late, but no one stays late. So that everyone leaves at the same time. So the further you are along in davening, you're always going to have Rovan. People don't leave early. That's the assumption. People don't leave early. A lot of people come late, but everyone leaves at the same time. The Radvaz says that the reason is because in Tefillah Shachris, it's the same Shachris pretty much for all the Yom Tovim, so everyone knew how to daven Shachris. So a lot of people would daven Shachris themselves. They didn't need to come to Shul for that. But for Tfilas Musaf, which is different on every Yantiv, because of the different Karbonos they have in every Yantiv, not everyone was a Baki in Tfilas Musaf, so a lot of people would come to hear from the Shliach Tzibur, Dafka Tfilas Musaf, because they didn't know how to do it on their own. So that's why it was Barovam, that's why there was a greater Rovam when it came to Musaf than there was when it came to when it came to Shachris. So I just noticed that Rav Zilberstein has a discussion also. If how important is this concept of Bravam when it comes to blowing shofar, when it comes to doing mitzvahs, when it comes to davening in general? Let's say a person can travel to a different city for the Yom Noraim for Bravam Hadras Melech, where they have a larger city, a larger shul. They have a shul with 1,000 people in a different city, or he could stay home with a shul that has 30 people. Is there an Indian of Bravam to dafka go away to be in the larger gathering for the Yom Noraim? So it says in Maseches Bikurim in Paragimel Mishnah Beis, Ketz and Malamis Bikurim. How do they get together to bring the Bikurim? So Kol Ayarosh Abemaimed Miskansels the Irshal Maimed. Everyone gathers together in the city of the Maimed, and the Bartanur explains the city of the Rosh Maimed, the head of that group. And instead of everyone just bringing the Bikurim on their own, they all get together in one place before they go and parade in their Bikurim, because Barav Am Hadras Melech. So you see that they're specifically traveling to a particular city in order to do a mitzvah Barav Am. Rav Zilberstein points out that, yeah, that's because they're already traveling anyway. So once you're traveling anyway, and you're going from your city to a different city, so we could make it a little bit of an extra schlep and stop off in another city to add a stop along the way in order to be Mekayim Barav Am. But we never find that a person has to actually, if you're not planning on leaving your city, to actually leave the city that you're currently in just to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Bravam. The Chayei Adam, Chal Samaches, raises a suffix if a person has to leave his city in order to go somewhere else to do a mitzvah saseh. Is that part of the requirement of mitzvah saseh to leave town in order to fulfill the mitzvah saseh? The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah we're going to see soon is going to talk about if you have two options. You can go to a city where they have shofar, you can go to a city where they have
they have someone who knows how to daven. So which one should you go to? So what if in your city you don't have either of those things? Can you just stay home? Is it necessary to go to another city, or is it just a question if anywhere you're going, you're leaving? So which one is the better place to leave to? So Chai Adam's not sure that you have to leave in order to even do a mitzvah saseh. So the Silbusim points out, if that's a suffix in the Chai Adam, then Kal V'chomer, just to be Mekayim Barovam, which is a mitzvah min amuvchar, it's not as important as the Iker mitzvah saseh, so it should be pashut that a person doesn't have to leave his city in order to fulfill Barovam. But anyway, that's why we blow shofar at Musaf, because of Barovam Hadras Melech. So frankly, Gemara, Ihachi Halal Nami Neima B'sheni Mishum de Barovam Hadras Melech, Halal we should also do at Musaf because of Barovam Hadras Melech. So it says Gemara, Elamai Shna Halal de Barishon, Mishum de Zriz Makdim le Mitzvos. No, the reason we do Halal at Shachris is because of the concept of Zriz Makdim le Mitzvos, and therefore we try to do it as early as possible during Shachris. The Adderes has a story, the Adderes writes in the Tshuva, that there was a city where there weren't enough esrogim for all the people of the city, but there were multiple shuls in the city. So what they would do is they would take a whole box of esrogim and they'd bring it to one shul, and then when that shul was finished with it, they'd bring it to the next shul, because everyone wanted to be able to use the esrogim during halal. So they would schlep the box of esrogim around, but they didn't scatter the starting times of davening. So it turned out that a lot of shuls would the shuls that were later in the rotation had to sit there and wait around after Shachris in order to say the Hallel. So the question is, in that situation, is it better for them to daven Musaf first and to daven all the other tefillos first, and then you'll say Hallel after Musaf? Meaning, if the whole concept of Hallel is Zriz Makdim the Mitzvos, yeah, but if you're not going to be able to do the Mitzvah before a certain time anyway, and Adrabah, you're just going to be delaying Musaf, you're going to be delaying Kriyas HaTorah, so then he says, so then maybe not, then maybe we wouldn't say Zriz Makdim the Mitzvos. What's the other tzad? The other side is that no, that the reason we were Mesakin Halal in Shachris was because of Zriz Makdim LeMitzvos. But once we had Zriz Makdim LeMitzvos, they included Halal as part of Shachris. So maybe you're not allowed to push Halal after Musaf because that's not the way they were Mesakin Halal. They were Mesakin Halal as part of Shachris. The Marsham quotes from a Tosefta that Tefillah v'Halal ma'akvin ze'ezeh. Sounds like it became Mitzvah Achas, that the Tefillah and the Halal, the Shachris and Halal, became a single Mitzvah. So that's the tut studim to that shayla. So frankly, Gemara, okay, so Zriz Makdim LeMitzvos is the reason you want to say Halal early. Well, Tekiyah Minavid Barishon Mishum Zriz Makdim LeMitzvos. Why don't we do Tekiyos early as well because of Zriz Makdim LeMitzvos? The Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, in the Rav Moshe, there's a better reason to do Tekiyos first. Forget about Zriz Makdim LeMitzvos. Moshe writes, why do we even need the reason Zriz Makdim LeMitzvos? We should say, but why is it that before the Gezeira they would be Tokeh B'Shachris, as we're about to see? Musaf is Tadir. So Tekiyos are less Tadir than Musaf. So shouldn't we say Musaf has to come before the Tekiyos anyway? Because of Tadir B'Sheinu, Tadir Kodem. So you can't blow the Tekiyos at Shachris. You have a mitzvah of davening Musaf today. So if Moshe writes that Musaf is not to be viewed as one mitzvah, that Musaf on Rosh Chodesh and Yantif and Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. No, every Musaf is its own mitzvah, because Musaf, each Musaf, as we mentioned before, is different, because each Musaf is a different karban. So since each Musaf is a different karban, Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is in fact not more Tadir than Tekiyos, because Musaf of Rosh Hashanah comes up only as frequently as Tekiyos come up. So that's a big yisod that Rav Moshe writes. But anyway, so the Gemara asks, so why don't we build Tekiyos at Shachris based on Zriz Makdimin? And so Gemara, Am Rabbi Yochanan, B'shas Gezeres HaMalchus Shanu. This was at a time of Gezeres HaMalchus, and therefore they couldn't do it. It was a time where there was persecution of the Jewish people, and there were Gezeros not to blow shofar at that time, so therefore they had to do it at the at Musaf. So they were unable to do it any earlier because of that. Tosfos and Rishonim write that even nowadays, Bizman Hazeh, when there's no Gezeres HaMalchus, but still we left the halacha the way it was. They were not misaking to be tokeh b'shachris midin's reason, and we left it as if there still were a Gezeres HaMalchus. Why would we leave it like that? Meaning, if there's no, it could go either way, and it doesn't really matter whether you do a Shachris or Musaf. So I understand why you'd leave it like that. But over here, there's a concept of Zriz Makdim the mitzvahs that Dafka should tell you to blow shofar at shachris. So why are we going to leave it with the halacha, even when there's no gzeres hamalchus, against the zriza makdim the mitzvahs? So Tosus writes that because of chashash shemiyachzar davar lekulkulo, because you never know, gzeros might come back at any time. The Ravitz says that they were never oker the takana because there is a milah doing it at Musaf. There's the rovam. So since you have rovam versus zriza makdimin, and you once had the gzera, so we left it with the like it was with the gzera to fulfill the rovam at the expense of zriza makdimin lemitzvos. So it says Gemara now, midkam b'shas halal mechal de brashana lekahalal. From the fact that it says b'shas halal, that the Mishnah said, oh, and on those days that you say halal, halal should be done together with shachris, the implication is that on Rosh Hashanah there is no halal. So says the Gemara, my taima, why not? Why isn't there halal on Rosh Hashanah? Some Rabbi Vahu, Omru Malach Yesharis Nekarosh Baruch Hu, the Malach Yesharis said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalom, Minimei Ma Ein Yisrael Omru Shiru Lefnecha Rosh Hashanah B'Yom HaKippurim. Why is it that Klal Yisrael doesn't say Shira in front of you on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim? Amar Lehem, Efshar Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Din, V'Sifrei Chayim, V'Sifrei Mesim, Suchan Lefanav, V'Yisrael Omru Shira. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, hey, because it's so inappropriate, how could it be that the Melech is sitting on the Kisei Din? He's sitting on the seat of judgment, and he has the Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mesim open in front of him, and Klal Yisrael should be busy singing Shira. It's not an appropriate time to sing Shira. The Aruch Lener writes that the reason that the Malachim asked this question is because the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzad Yalf and Beis says that the Malach Yashares are not allowed to say Shira until Klal Yisrael says Shira. So Malach Yashares were asking not Stam to be Mekatrik and Klal Yisrael; they were asking for their own self-interest. We want to say Shira. Why can't we say Shira? Why is it that Klal Yisrael is not? Is not saying Shira. The Aruch Lener also says that we find that by Kriyas Yamsuf that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Bikshu Malach Yasharis Lomar Shira, and Kodesh Baruch Hu said to them, how could you say Shira? Masa Yaday Tovim Beyam V'atemar Mashira. So even though Klal Yisrael themselves did say Shira at that time, because the Nes happened to them, but the Malachim were not allowed to say Shira at that time because of Masa Yaday Tovim Beyam. So maybe on Rosh Hashanah it's also that's the time of the Malach Yasharis, even though it's a time of Din L'Rashayim, say the Malach Yesharis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is Klal Yisrael not saying Shira? They're not Rishon, they're Tzadikim. They should be B'Simcha V'Tov Lev. So why can't they sing Shira themselves like they did by Kriyas Yamsuf? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that even though they're confident that there's going to be that they will be saved, but nevertheless Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mesim are Psuchim. So it's still not an appropriate time. It's just too serious a time for one to say Shira. The Rambam, the Pirush Mishnayos writes, Aim Korin Hala, Lobrashon of Lobiyama Kippurim, Lefishahem Yume Tfila Vahachna Lefne Hashem, Viyiramimenu, Vinisala Vichuvat Vitrino Bakashos Mechila, Vain Ra'ui Bimatsavim Kela Lismoach. Velosis. Says the Rambam that since it's such a serious time of Hachna and Tefillah and Tshuva, it's not appropriate to feel a sense of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. So it sounds like that's how he understands the Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mesim, and how could Klal Yisrael say Shira. The Sefer Yom Tru just points out that it's a little bit difficult to understand because the Tur that we always quote in Simtav Kav Pei Aleph, right, quotes from the Medrash that Amar Rabbi Simon, Ksiv Kimi Goy Gadol, Rabbi Chanim Rabbi Shah Omrin, Ezo Uma Kuma Zu, Sheyadah that normally a person is facing a din, he dresses in black and he's all depressed and he doesn't know what's going on, he grows his fingernails, etc. The Medrash Davka has a lesson that Klal Yisrael feels a sense of Simcha in Rosh Hashanah because we know that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to make a nace. So says Yom Tru, so what's going on in our sugya, and certainly the way the Rambam understands it, there's no Simcha in Rosh Hashanah. The Medrash implies that there is Simcha in Rosh Hashanah. So he suggests that each and every individual is Lovish Levenim Samech La'atzmo because he has bitachon that he's going to be written in the Sefer HaChaim. But he can't deny the fact that somebody's going to be written in the Sefer HaMesim. So in the world in general, since there are going to be people that are written in the Misa, so for the covet of those people, it's not appropriate to say Hallel it's not appropriate to express the simcha in such a public way. But each individual can privately express the simcha. I would have said the other way. I would have said that Klal Yisrael has a guarantee that as a unit, as a Klal Yisrael, we're going to survive because Klal Yisrael always survives. And therefore, we can express a certain confidence. But for each person individually, still has to have a certain sense of trepidation that that individual might be in the Sefer Mason. Okay, but that's the way the Sefer Yom Trua puts it. Rav Zilberstein points out that in one of the communities during the Holocaust, they rounded up all the Jews on the Yontif of Shavuos into the shul, and before they had and they were going to light the shul on fire, they were going to burn them all alive, and before they did so, the people in the shul wanted to know, should they say Hallel? Meaning, would you say such a thing? Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim Lefanav, Atem Omrim Shira, that maybe it's inappropriate for them to say Hallel given such circumstances. So he discusses that possibility of a Halach Lemaisa of a Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim. But he says, Lemaisa would seem that once Chazal were Mesakein, that we say Hallel on a given day, then we don't apply we don't take individual examples of Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim. I mean, even days that where people are not necessarily besimcha, they're not feeling a sense of simcha, we would still say the Hallel. This was about being when we should be Mesakein Hallel. This is the character of the day of Rosh Hashanah, is Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim. So they weren't Mesakein Hallel. But if you have a day that you know they were Misakin Hallel, so then we you would say Hallel, even if one is Rachman al-Islam living with the feeling of the Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mesim on some other Yantif. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Now we're at the Mishnah, the bottom Mishnah, the last Mishnah on Beis and Beis. We're almost at today's daf. Shofar Shal Rosh Hashanah, in Ma'avirin Alav Esatchum. In order to secure a shofar of Rosh Hashanah, we don't go past the Tchum, Vein Mefachin Alav Esagal, and we don't go through a pile of rubble in order to get the shofar. Lo olin b'ilan, we don't climb a tree in order to secure a shofar. Rav Zilberstein says, unless you're the guy who put the shofar in the tree so that no one will have access to it, and you're trying to be machshel the rabbin because you were angry at the community, then you're allowed to go to the tree and take the shofar down. He says it's like redias apas, because then you're doing a worse avera by leaving the shofar there, so then you'd be allowed to do it. So that would be the answer to the riddle of when is it okay to take a shofar down from a tree. But you see, all of lo rochman al gabi behemi, you're not allowed to ride on an animal for it, you're not allowed to go swimming, and you're not allowed to cut the shofar from the animal, whether it be using something that would only be an issur d'rabbanan, or whether it be a violation of an issur d'oraisa. So we see, even to violate issur d'rabbanan in order to do the mitzvah of shofar, one is not allowed to do. So the Achronim point out, even Rishonim point out, that one is not allowed to do an issur d'rabbanan in order to do the mitzvah of shofar, but a shvus to shvus would be mutter. So to ask a guy to do an Isra Drabban for you would be mutter. Rav Zilberstein has a discussion, what about going in an elevator in order, chola in a hospital, so the shul in the hospital is on whatever floor, and he needs to go in an elevator and have a guy push the buttons in the elevator for him. Is that permissible in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar? So on the one hand you'd say, well, shvus to shvus is mutter. If a guy is pushing the button for him, then it's going to be mutter. So the question is, but is pushing the button only in Isra Drabban, or is it in Isra Daraisa? So there's a lengthy discussion of that. And B, is it really only the guy that's doing the malacha? Because when a person goes into an elevator, he's adding weight to the elevator, which causes an electric change in the elevator, causes a flow of electricity, a greater flow of electricity in the elevator. So it may not be just a shvus to shvus. So it may be that it's aser for the chalat to go in the elevator for the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar, even though it's a great mitzvah. But nevertheless, we have a beferish mishnah that we don't violate yisurim d'rabbanan in order to secure a shofar. If a person wants to put water or wine in the shofar in order to clean it out or whatever, so he's allowed to do that, that's not considered a violation of tikkun mana. We don't stop children from blowing the shofar, and we could practice with them till they learn how to blow properly. If a person blows without having kavanah for the mitzvah, he's not yotze. And anyone who's shomeim in the misasik, someone who hears tkios from somebody who's misasik, is also not yotze the mitzvah of shofar. So a couple of points on the Mishnah. We said Bein B'davar Shumi Shum Shvus. The Ritva writes that he has a Margolis B'Shem HaRamban. He has a beautiful gem from the Ramban on this this concept that we don't violate a shvus in order to blow shofar. He says, because you should realize that whenever we use the term shvus or shvus de Rabbanan, the Ramban writes al haTorah by Yikra Perach Chav Gimel Pasuk Chav Dalid, that it doesn't mean that that there's no din of shvus min haTorah. There's no din of shvisa on Shabbos and Yantiv min haTorah, because it would turn out then the Ramban has that famous formulation where he says it would turn out that a Shabbos and Yantiv would look just like a weekday min haTorah without any mitzvah of Shabbason. So a person could do business as long as he writes with a shinoi, and you could do everything. You could run Shabbos and Yantiv like a weekday. He says it's not mistaver that Chazal would ask her carrying a grogros outside on Shabbos. Not Chazal, that the Torah would ask her carrying a grogros outside on Shabbos, because that's a malacha and that's too much. That would stir your Shabbos, but you're allowed to do work and you're allowed to go run your business and you're allowed min haTorah. And it's only the Rabbanan that came along and asked her all those things on Shabbos. He says that can't be. It can't be that would be the case. Rather, says Ramban, included in the mitzvah of the Torah is to be shoves on Shabbos, is to have a mitzvah of Shabbason on Shabbos. But and included in that mitzvah of Shabbason is not to do malachos like you would do them on the weekday, not to do any weekday activities. But what those details are, what gets considered as a weekday activity, that is up to the Rabbanan to be kaveya, what's going to be asr mishum shvus, what's not going to be asr mishum shvus. So it turns out that there is an idea of shvus min haTorah. So why is it that Chazal didn't allow you to violate certain isurim d'Rabbanan in order to do a mitzvah d'Oraisa? One would think, what do you mean? You got shofar over here. You have to do a mitzvah d'Oraisa. Why are Chazal being mamed divrayim b'makom dinei Torah? Because they're not just being mamed divrayim. This is not divrei Chazal entirely. When the Chazal say you're not allowed to climb a tree, you're not allowed to go swimming, you're not allowed to do these things on Shabbos and Yantif, they were defining a din d'Oraisa. They weren't being mesakein a din d'Rabbanan. They were using their powers to define a din d'Oraisa, and that's why they were mamed divrayim b'makom Torah. Okay, right through the Gemara. Now, so says the Gemara, my taima. So why is it that we're not allowed to violate Yisurim in order to get a shofar? Because shofar asehu, shofar is a mitzvah asei. The yom tov asei velos asei, vein asei dochas los sei vasei. Yom tov is both an asei and a los asei, and a mitzvah asei is not going to be docha a los asei ve asei. The mitzvah asei is only going to be an asei is docha los asei, but an asei is not docha a los asei ve asei. I have a similar question that comes up: is a person allowed to violate muktzah in order to do the mitzvah of hashavas aveda? Right, the mitzvah of Hashavas Aved is a mitzvah d'Oraisa. Muktzah is only nisid rabban. This is the shaila in the Chassam Sofer in Or Chaim Simon Pei Beis, where the Chassam Sofer says that it's also to be metaltal the Aveda, and one of the reasons is based on what the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Chametz. The Shulchan Aruch says that if you find chametz in your possession on Yantif, you're not allowed to be metaltal in order to burn it because of a nisra of tiltal muktzah. So even if you didn't do bittul before Yantif, still it's a nisra of tiltal muktzah. Aye, but you're violating nisid d'Oraisa bali rab. Still, the Chum said that you're not allowed to violate Tiltul Muktzah, and he says the explanation is based on our Mishnah that you're not even allowed to violate a Shvus Rabban in order to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. And the reason is because Yom Tov is an Asay and a Los Asay, so the Asay of Tkiyah Shofar is not going to be Docha the Asay and the Los Asay of Yom Tov. And using that, the Ran explains that even though the Yisurim, the Mishnah, are only Yisurim Drabanan, so there is no Asay and Los Asay really Minat Torah, because we're only dealing with Yisurim Drabanan. But the chamra also chizuk l'divrayim kishal Torah. So just like Yisurim Yom Tov d'Oraisa, you know, are not nidcha for the sake of shofar, so too Yisurim Yom Tov d'Rabbanan. So we find that the Yisurim of Shvus, Yisurim Shvus of Tiltul Muktzah and Yom Tov, in some certain cases, asa'um kishal Torah. We treat them like dinim d'Oraisa. So the Chassam Sofer says, so Tiltul Muktzah is treated like a din d'Oraisa, and therefore one would not be allowed to be metaltal Muktzah for the sake of Hashavas Aveda either. Lo olim b'ilan v'lo rochon al gabe behema. So the Mishnah said you don't climb up a tree and you don't ride on an animal on Yom Tov in order to get a shofar. So hashad drabanan amrlo d'Oraisa mibayi. Once we said that you're not allowed to do Yisurim drabanan, do you need to tell me that you're not allowed to do Yisurim d'Oraisa? So Rashi explains what we mean to say is muktzah is pure drabanan. Riding on a behema, granted it's also midrabanan, but it's also out of a chashash shemiyachto smora that you might cut off a branch. So it's out of a chashash that you might actually violate a d'Oraisa. So if something that's a pure drabanan, that's through and through drabanan, you're not allowed to do in order to secure a shofar, then for sure something that could lead you to a d'Oraisa, daraisa, the kind of drabban that could lead you to daraisa, you shouldn't be allowed to do in order to secure a shofar. So it says Gemara, yeah, zuvein tzarech lamar zu ketani. The Mishnah is written in the style of zuvein tzarech lamar zu, where we say the lesser chiddush, and then we say the greater chiddush, and then we say the lesser chiddush. So we start with the greater chiddush. Vein chotchnoso. The Mishnah went on to say, you're not allowed to cut the shofar on the top of lam gimel amr aleph right now. Vein bedavar shumishum shvus, vein bedavar shumishum losase. You're not allowed to use a utensil that would only be an Issur Darabanan to use, nor a utensil that would be an Issur Daraisa to use to cut the shofar. So the Gemara gives an example of each such utensil. Mishum Shvus Magla. Mishum Shvus would be a Magla, which is a type of utensil that's apparently not normally used for cutting, and therefore is not considered an Issur Daraisa to use it to cut. And Losase Sakina. Losase would be a knife, where it's the Derech to cut with a knife, so it's considered a Malacha Gemur, it's not a Shinui at all. So Hashem Mishum Shvus Amrit Lo, Losase Mibai. Once you tell me I'm not even allowed to cut using something that's only Nisa Drabanan, you need to tell me I'm not allowed to cut using something that's Nisa Daraisa. So it says Marzu Vein Tzarech Lamar Zu Ketani. Again, we start with the greater Chiddush and we work our way down to the lesser Chiddush. Avalim Ratzel Litein Tocha Mayim Oyayin Itein. So the Mishnah said, if you want to put water or wine in the shofar, you're allowed to do that. Mayim Oyayin In Meraglayim Lo. Sounds like water or wine you're allowed to put in there, but one is not allowed to put Meraglayim, one is not allowed to put urine in the shofar in order to clean it out or whatever. So Masnisan Mani Abishol here. Our Mishnah must be assuming like Abishol. The Tani Abishol Lomer, Mayim Oyayin Mutter Kedel Tzachtzicho. You could shine the shofar using wine and water, but Meraglayim Aser Mipnei HaKavod. One is not allowed to put Meraglayim in the shofar Mipnei HaKavod. It's disrespectful for the mitzvah to put Meraglayim in the shofar. Now Maseches Krisos, we know very well the Brisa of Pita Maktaris says V'alo Meraglayim Yafinla Ela She'in Machnisan Meraglayim LaMikdash Mipnei HaKavod. The Meraglayim would be great for the Ketores. The only problem is you're not allowed to bring a Meraglayim into the Mikdash Mipnei HaKavod. So the Gemara says, so you see a raya from there that the Ketores would be done in the Mikdash, not Chutz LaMikdash, because otherwise why would we say that you can't bring Meraglayim Mipnei HaKavod? So Tosav there says, wait a second, how's that a raya? Even if they would do the Ketores Bachutz, even if they didn't do the Ketores in the Mikdash, you're not supposed to put Meraglayim in a Dvar Mitzvah at all, because it's a violation of Mipnei HaKavod. That's our Gemari. We don't even put Meraglayim in the shofar, even though it's Bachutz, even though it's not in the Mikdash, Mipnei HaKavod. So Kol Shekein, you're not going to put Meraglayim in Ketores, which you're then going to be Machnis, Lifnai V'Lifnim afterwards, so all the more so that you're not going to put Meraglayim in it. So he says, Rabusa Nakat, that even to be Machnis Lifnim is Aser, Kol Shekein to put it in the Ketores itself, meaning to even bring Meraglayim into the Mikdash is Aser, Kal V'Chomer to use Meraglayim as part of the ingredients of the Ketores, that's all the Gemara is trying to say, that would be Aser Mipnei HaKavod. Ein ma'akvenes tinokos militkoa. So he said, we're not ma'akiv tinokos from blowing shofar. So says Gemara, hanashim ma'akvin. The implication is that we would stop women from blowing shofar. And Rashi says, since they're pater, it's mitzvah shazman grama, they're pater, and therefore if women blow shofar, it's a violation of bal tosif if a woman blows shofar. So we're ma'akiv the women from blowing the shofar because it's going to be a violation of bal tosif. Marsha says, what's shaykh bal tosif up here? Bal tosif is where you have a mitzvah and you add to the mitzvah. Person adds a fifth parsha in the tefillin or something like that. He's mosif on the mitzvah. But over here, there is no mitzvah in the first place. There's simply not chayiv in the mitzvah. So someone is not chayiv in a mitzvah and does a mitzvah, that's a violation of bal tosif. What he should have said is that they're not chayiv in the mitzvah of shofar, so it turns out that they're violating a shavus of playing a musical instrument, of blowing a shofar for no reason. On yantif, that's what he should have said. Why did he say bal tosif? It's marshos kasha. Anyway, Vatani, the bride says, ein makvin los ha-noshim los itinokos milot kol b'yomto, but we have Brisa anyway that says otherwise. The Brisa says that we don't stop women from blowing shofar on Yom Tov. So I'm Rabbi Lokasha, Har Rabbi Yehuda, Har Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. It's Machlokas Tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Titania Daberel Bnei Yisrael Somchin, Vein Bnei Yisrael Somchos, Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds when it comes to doing smicha on karbanos, so men do it, but women cannot do smicha. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim Nashim Somchos Rishos, that even though women are not chayiv to do smicha, they are permitted to do smicha. That's the concept of Nashim Somchos Rishos. So whether women are allowed to volunteer volunteer to do mitzvah shazman grama is machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda says they may not volunteer. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say that women may volunteer to do mitzvah shazman grama. So Tosus points out in name of Rabbeinu Tam halacha Rabbi Yossi dinimuko imo and ma'aser rav. We pass on Rabbi Yossi for several reasons. There's a ma'aser rav in Maseches Erevin where it says Michal Bashal would put on tefillin, ishto shel Yonah would be yalla l'regel. So we do have on record women volunteering mitzvah shazman grama. The only example we have of a great woman wearing tefillin, though, it's an unusual example because Shulchan Aruch paskins that women should not wear tefillin. That even though women can volunteer mitzvah shazman grama, they should not volunteer that mitzvah. Michal Bashal was different for whatever reason. She was more confident in having a gufnaki, so she was able to wear tefillin. But as in general, we do find that women are allowed to volunteer a mitzvah shazman grama. And Tosfos says, okay, now that we pass on that they're allowed to volunteer it, can they say a bracha when they do mitzvah shazman grama? So Tosfos says in the third skinny line, umutaros levarich al mitzvah shazman grama, even though they're pturus min adavar, they're allowed to say a bracha on mitzvah shazman grama. And Tosfos brings several rayas from throughout Shas that they're allowed to make brachas. He brings rayas from a suma, that if a suma is allowed to make brachas on mitzvah shazman grama, then women are also allowed to make brachas. And then Tosfos says, but maybe a suma is not the greatest raya, because a blind man, even if he's pata for mitzvos on a daraisa level, is at least chayiv midrabanan. A woman is entirely pater from mitzvah shazman grama. And then Tosfos goes on to say, aye, but how could they say the word vitzivanu? Heichon tzivanu, where's their tzivanu for a woman to in the mitzvah shazman grama that she's definitely pater from? So you have to assume that vitzivanu is a broader vitzivanu. It's vitzivanu as klal Yisrael. That klal Yisrael as a whole was commanded in the mitzvah. And the later on, he quotes from the Rivam, a raya that women could be mevarich kol mitzvah shazman grama is from the fact that the Gemara says in Megillah, hakol olu l'minyan shiva v'afilu yishu v'afilu katan, afagav di'ishenu mitzvah l'asuk b'torah, that a woman can get an aliyah, the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, and even though women are part from Talmud Torah, and an aliyah is just Talmud Torah, and you can make a bracha when you get an aliyah. Then the Tosfos says, well, that's not the greatest raya either, because not everyone who got an aliyah used to say a bracha. It used to be only the first olah and the last olah would say a bracha, not everyone in between, so maybe that's not the greatest raya either. Now, all of this is against the Rambam. The Rambam holds that women are not allowed to say a bracha mitzvah shazman grama because they're not mechuyevin, and the Smag explains that the reason is the problem of the word vitzivanu, that you're not allowed to say the word vitzivanu. Others say no, that the Rambam's got a problem of losisa, that it's a violation of saying Hashem's name in vain because they're saying a bracha when they're absolutely putter from saying a bracha. So that's machlokas adayom, that Sephardi women do not say, although they may volunteer mitzvah shazman grama, may not volunteer the bracha, may not say brachas mitzvah shazman grama following the psak of the Rambam. And Ashkenazi women do have the practice of saying a bracha on mitzvah shazman grama following the Balei Tosfos, following the Rabbeinu Tam. Avol misaskin me'amad sheyilmedu, said back in the Gemara, we can work with children until they learn properly how to blow the shofar. Amar Ablazer afilu b'shabbos. Ablazer says even on Shabbos a child can blow the shofar. Tanya namiyachi over Brisa just like this. Misaskin me'amad sheyilmedu afilu b'shabbos, that even on Shabbos. Ve'in ma'ak v'natinokos melitko b'shabbos ve'in sarach lom rabbi yomtov. If a child is blowing shofar on Shabbos, you don't have to stop him, and certainly on Yontif you don't have to stop him from blowing the shofar. Haguf akashas, but wait a second. Amrit misaskin me'amad sheyilmedu v'afilu b'shabbos al melechatchila amrin atiku. It sounds like at first we said that you could be misasik with the children to teach them to blow shofar. Sounds like even the chadchila we could teach the children on Shabbos to blow the shofar. V'adr tana ein ma'akvin ikuvu d'lo ma'akvin al chadchila lo amri antiku. But then we said ein ma'akvin, that you don't stop them, but it sounds like the chadchila we don't recommend it. So it says more lo kasha, kan b'katan shigil l'chinuch, kan b'katan shelo igil l'chinuch. It depends if we're talking about a katan shigil l'chinuch or not. If the katan is already igil l'chinuch, so then we can work with them to teach them, and certainly we wouldn't stop them. But if he's not a gil l'chinuch, so why would we do it l'charchila to work with them, to teach them? He's not a gil l'chinuch, so there's no point. So, but we don't have to stop them if they're not a gil l'chinuch. But you wouldn't work with them dafka l'charchila to do it that way. V'amisasek lo yatsa. We said that if someone blows shofar without any kavan, he's not yotze. Hatokel l'shir yatsa. But if he's blowing it, not just happening to blow it by accident, but he's tokel l'shir, he's tokel to make musical sounds, he is yotze. There's a riot to Rava that a tokeh l'shir is yotze. Says Gemara, no, dilma tokeh l'shir na misasikari le. Our mission is not a riot to Rava. Our mission said misasik. misasek is not yotze. Maybe misasek means anytime you're not having kavana. So being tokel l'shir might have fit under the definition of misasek in the Mishnah.
If someone hears from misasek, is not yotze.
What if you hear show from someone who's just blowing for himself and doesn't even know you're listening? So yotze, then you are yotze, it sounds like from our Mishnah, because it didn't say that's no good. So maybe there's a tiyuf to Rabbi Zera because Rabbi Zera insisted that whoever was blowing shofar for him have kavana to be motzi him. So it says, no, Dilma Idi Tanarisha Masasik, Tana Sefanami Masasik. Maybe when it said Oshmeya Masasik, it was just to keep it parallel with the Resha. But in Achinami, they didn't have to have kavana to, you would normally need to have kavana. It's not only Shomeya Mina Masasik, it's so Yotze, even if you're Shomeya Mina Mashmila Atzmo, you're not Yotze because the person who's blowing shofar does need to have kavana in order to be motzi you. Okay, Bezrem, tomorrow we'll pick up at that Mishnah.